Well, good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartog. Alan, the big headline today, and it's a big one, Trump Organization is charged with running 15-year tax scheme. Donald Trump's company and his longtime finance chief were charged Thursday in what a prosecutor called a sweeping and audacious tax fraud scheme. The indictment says Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg allegedly received more than $1.7 million in off-the-books compensation, including apartment rent, car payments, and school tuition. It's the first criminal case New York authorities probe has yielded. Both Weisselberg and lawyers for the Trump organizations pleaded not guilty. Trump himself was not charged at this stage of the investigation, jointly pursued by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Again, Trump calling it a witch hunt and political. Lawyers claiming that this would not be done against any other company. It would be left to civil authorities. Even the Times noted that this might be somewhat of an exception. However, the question is there more to come?
Well, we think that this is a gambit. In other words, the idea is that you get Weisselberg to turn on Trump. Weisselberg signed every single order and check that comes out of the Trump organization. The idea, however, that Trump is trying to use the tax system to his advantage is quite disturbing. This is a guy who was the president of the United States, the head guy. And if he's cheating and we need money for the government to run it so that you and I are paying our taxes, believe me, they're withdrawn every time we get a paycheck. It's disgraceful that the president isn't doing it. So I'm somewhat disappointed in the attorney general and in the other prosecutors who brought all of this, because I think Trump should have been named. After all, he was the beneficiary. But I don't think that that's what this is all about. This is about getting Weisselberg to turn on Trump. And so far, he hasn't done that. But when you're facing the possibility of being in an iron cell somewhere, away from your family and your million-dollar salary or whatever you're getting, it's got to be somewhat daunting. So that's why this is being done this way now, and I hope it bears fruit.
Speaking of, what about the fact that Trump has bragged about his ability to avoid paying taxes, quote-unquote legally, of course, and that his supporters like that idea? To that effect, the Washington Post this morning, Trump seeks to use indictments as a political rallying cry as he tries to survive this latest legal threat.
Well, he always does that. You know, black is white is black, up is down, down is up. And of course, 73 million people voted for the guy, and they are willing to take him on face value. Nevertheless, either you are a crook or you're not. And if you are a crook and you are ripping off the system and you are the head of the government, it is something that a lot of people are going to have to consider, especially since so many of us pay our taxes, period, end of discussion. So this, I think, represents a very difficult situation for Trump, because this is a criminal indictment for his people. And we know that when those things are put on the table, there will be the option of cracking on the part of the people who are being charged. After all, it's not Trump who's being charged. It's the people who are subordinate to him, and he's the guy who makes the money.
Can you see, Alan, for example, if Weisselberg does flip and reveal some very incriminating information about Trump, that it will ruin any chance he has of running for re-election?
Not at all. I think this is a guy who is always trying to convince people that white is black and black is white, and will continue to do that. After all, he did get elected to be president of the United States. It's extraordinary, but he did. And I am quite sure that that kind of success makes him feel he can do it again. And there is somewhat of a chance that he can do it again. It scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you. But the idea that they are changing the laws so that he will win in these states, so that the Secretary of State doesn't count anymore, so that the legislature can overturn the Secretary of State, or that another official can. When these guys had enough guts to do what was right in the last round, they're trying to make sure that that can't happen again. And since we know how Trump plays the game, it's possible that they will, and I've asked a lot of people in my interviews with them who are high-ups whether they were scared too, and to a person they are.
And, Alan, you've got now a Supreme Court decision upholding the Arizona voting restrictions.
That's exactly right. You know, this court isn't fooling anybody. This is a 6-3 majority. The last several were put in there by Trump. They have an obligation. Now, people say, oh, these guys always follow the law. Now, I have to say, in John Roberts' defense, that he understands that, that the credibility of the court is very much on the line right now. So, on several of these, they say, okay, we'll give it to the people we don't really believe in. But when it came down to whether or not these people were allowed to fix the election, there they were. And it was 6-3, just as we had always suspected it would be. You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, what do you make of the federal executions being halted as Attorney General Merrick Garland has ordered a review of whether the drug approved for federal executions, phenobarbital, poses risks of pain and suffering? His review also will examine a decision made late last year to allow other methods of execution, including electrocution and firing squad.
You know, David, in the end, when you're being put to death, you're talking about facing pain. Death, it seems to me, is the ultimate there. And you can argue all you want about whether a bullet to your heart is better than, you know, an electric chair or poison. But in the end, they're all terrible. And here's the thing about the death penalty, the thing that always brings me over. Look, some of these people are heinous. You know, they kill other people's kids, and they are horrible people. And Mario Cuomo was right. You put them in a jail cell, and the only thing they hear is the toilet seat going up and down. To me, the idea that you execute anybody always leaves the possibility, and we've seen it over and over again, that they didn't do it. There's no taking it back in the death penalty.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok.
Get some rest this weekend, David. You get up so early every day, and I know how that is. Me too. And we should take our own advice, but we should also offer it to our friends.